Good afternoon. It's 41 degrees in Richland Center at 12:07. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Governor Tony Evers held a press conference this morning to call lawmakers into a special session. The governor wants the legislature to pass a constitutional amendment banning partisan gerrymandering in future redistricting efforts. In his State of the State address, Evers said it's about fair elections that reflect the voters, not politics. Quote, I know people here disagree sometimes, a lot. Politics could get in the way of creating a nonpartisan redistricting commission that everyone can support, but there's one thing that we should all be able to agree on, which is that politics should stay out of the redistricting from start to finish, end quote. The special session will start at noon on April 12th. When Evers has called special sessions in the past, the Republicans in charge often gaveled out of the session almost immediately. In the State of the State, Evers indicated he would continue to call sessions until the work is finished. In Wisconsin, constitutional amendments must be considered in two consecutive legislative sessions before being placed on the ballot for voter approval. Immediately following the press conference, Evers began a statewide tour to promote the plan. Governor Tony Evers sent a letter to Wisconsin's congressional delegation urging them to revise the new federal hemp law, which banned the sale of most hemp products in the U.S. starting in November 2026 and was passed as part of the plan to reopen the federal government last year after the longest federal government shutdown in U.S. history. According to Evers, the new federal hemp law is projected to jeopardize $700 million in economic impact and nearly 3,500 jobs in Wisconsin. The new federal definition sets the legal limit of THC and final hemp-derived cannabinoid products at 0.4 milligrams per container, causing many existing lawful products to be reclassified that effectively eliminates existing business models, forcing closures, layoffs, and lost investment. The impacts of the new federal hemp bill will be further intensified in Wisconsin due to the fact that Wisconsin has not yet legalized medical or recreational marijuana. The growing of hemp has become a strong diversification option for Wisconsin farmers, and as of November 2025, Wisconsin had 470 federally licensed hemp producers. In his letter, Governor Evers urges Wisconsin's congressional delegation to work with their congressional colleagues to pursue a legislative solution that maintains a workable, science-based hemp definition that prevents unnecessary economic harm. A bill aimed at preventing crypto kiosk scams could be taken up by the state Senate. The bill has already passed the Wisconsin Assembly with bipartisan support. Scott Goldberg, an investigator with the Wood County Sheriff's Office, testified before a Senate committee on the fast-moving nature of scams involving crypto kiosk and wallets.
So one of our investigators advised us that during the investigation, they found that that wallet moved hands three times in less than 10 minutes. We can't write the first paragraph of a search warrant in 10 minutes.
John Turk, with Chicago-based crypto kiosk operator CoinFlip, was questioned by Senator Jesse James.
The guidance and recommendations, but it's still taking advantage of our people.
Well, and I think, you know, that's where DFI needs to step in and ensure that their licensed operators are actually doing what they should be doing. And if they're not, their license should be revoked or they should be fined.
AARP Wisconsin is urging Senate passage of the bill. Raj Shukla is state director of AARP Wisconsin. He says current guidance from Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions is not enough to protect consumers.
The Department of Financial Institutions has put out guidance around these machines that call for low daily transaction limits and a number of other protections. But the Department of Financial Institutions can just issue guidance right now. What we need is the power of law, something that is enforceable by law enforcement. That's why this legislation is so necessary.
A representative of Chicago-based CoinFlip, which operates crypto kiosk in Wisconsin, testified that the bill is unnecessarily restrictive and could put it out of business. A bill proposing roadside drug testing in Wisconsin is sparking a debate over public safety. Lisa Hale reports.
The proposal would allow law enforcement officers to use roadside oral fluid testing in suspected drug-impaired driving cases. Dane County Sheriff Calvin Barrett said deputies are encountering more cases involving drugs, including prescription medications, in addition to alcohol. Meanwhile, Milwaukee defense attorney Andrew Mishlove says expanding roadside testing raises constitutional questions because bodily samples are considered searches. The proposal is still in the early stages of the legislative process. I'm Lisa Hale.
A bill that could open Wisconsin highways to self-driving cars has cleared its first hurdle at the Capitol. The Senate Transportation Committee voted 3-2 to advance the plan. It would create a board to test and regulate the vehicles and make sure companies are liable for any damage or injuries. Supporters see it as a way to improve safety and mobility. Motorcycle advocates warn it could lead to more crashes. Looking ahead to the partisan races in 2026, one is a repeat of the 2022 election. In 2022, Attorney General Josh Call narrowly defeated Fond du Lac County District Attorney Eric Toney. This year, Toney seeks to unseat the two-term incumbent. The latest Marquette Law School poll finds that 10 months before the election, voters view both candidates favorably. Said poll director Charles Franklin, quote, "We love us some attorney general candidates. I exaggerate a little bit, but not hugely." Both Eric Toney and Josh Call have slightly net positive favorability ratings. Both of them have a plus five, end quote. Franklin says Call is better known, with 56% of poll respondents saying they had no opinion of Call, compared with 75% with no opinion of Toney. The most recent Marquette poll was conducted between February 11th and 19th, with a margin of error of plus or minus 4.3. Wisconsin goes up a notch on a list ranking the state and local tax burden for residents. Wisconsin now ranks 34th in the nation, up one spot from last year's ranking of 35th. A new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum says taxes took about 9.8% of personal income. That's a little less than the year before. The report also shows the state's tax share is still about a percentage point below the national average. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection has identified a case of highly pathogenic avian influenza in a backyard poultry flock in Dane County. DADCAP and the U.S. Department of Agriculture animal health officials are working together in a joint incident response. The affected premises has been quarantined to restrict movement of poultry and poultry products. Birds on the property have been depopulated to prevent the spread of the disease. Birds from the flock will not enter the food system. DADCAP continues to urge all livestock owners to implement strong biosecurity measures to protect their flocks and herds from the disease. This includes washing hands, disinfecting equipment, restricting access to animals, and separating new additions to the flock or herd for at least 30 days. Poultry owners are asked, when possible, to keep their birds indoors. The risk to the general public in Wisconsin remains low. Prevention information for farm workers or others who have close contact with birds, dairy cows, or other relevant animals can be found at dhs.wisconsin.gov/occupational-health/farm-health.htm. DADCAP reminds Wisconsin livestock owners to register their premises. State law requires that all livestock owners register where their animals are kept. Registration helps animal health officials communicate with flock and herd owners during disease outbreaks. To report increased mortality or signs of illness among domestic birds, dairy cattle, or other animals, contact DADCAP at 608-224-4872 or 1-800-943-0003 after hours and weekends. Clean Wisconsin, along with other environmental and health organizations across the country, have filed a lawsuit against the Environmental Protection Agency over changes to greenhouse gas standards. The groups aim to stop the agency from weakening climate protections, specifically greenhouse gas standards, regulating pollution from power plants and vehicles. EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin announced the changes in February, eliminating the 2009 greenhouse gas endangerment finding and the related emission standards for vehicles. The endangerment finding established that greenhouse gases are a danger to human health, giving the EPA more regulatory authority. Clean Wisconsin outlines some of the climate-related issues affecting the state in the lawsuit, including a significant increase in weather-related disasters over the last 40 years and tick-borne illnesses, with mild winters allowing ticks to remain active for longer, as well as dangerous air quality as a result of wildfires caused by hotter and drier summer conditions. According to the latest Marquette Law School poll conducted in mid-February, Wisconsin registered voters have a negative opinion of how immigration and customs enforcement has been enforcing immigration laws. Lisa Hale has more.
56% of those polled disapproved and only 44% approved. But poll director Charles Franklin said the divide really shows a split down party lines.
There's been a lot of talk that the events in Minneapolis would change the country's opinions. I think it probably does change independents some, but it's certainly not evaporating support for ICE among Republicans.
Among Republicans, 87% approve of how ICE is doing its job, while 76% of independents and 97% of Democrats disapprove. The latest Marquette poll has a margin of error of plus or minus 4.3. I'm Lisa Hale.
Recently in Wisconsin, scammers have impersonated local government entities and officials in emails and text messages. Michelle Reinen is with Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection.
There are official-looking emails and text messages going out that are attempting to convince people and businesses to wire them money for fake tax bills and other fees such as building permits or zoning submissions. These fraudulent messages do appear convincing and sometimes impersonate specific individuals within the government. They're using official-looking government logos, street addresses, and titles. The messages provide well-written details and include fraudulent instructions to wire money to the, quote, government entity. However, any payment would be sent to the scammer.
To avoid being scammed, it is best to contact the government entity to verify the information is legitimate.
Use verified contact information to respond to local government organizations and officials. Never use the information you actually receive in an email message. You want to do that verification yourself, and you can do that simply just by heading downtown to your local municipality. And you want to verify all bills and invoices to confirm requests are legitimate before paying. I mean, you know you don't need to pay for a building permit or a zoning submission if you've never made one. Certainly, you're not going to be sent that. But you do need to be mindful of any tax bills you may have outstanding with your municipality.
When dealing with a local municipality, Michelle Reinen says that it is best to talk with them in person.
You know, a lot of municipalities provide extended hours during particular heightened times of activity, like paying property tax bills. They may add one night a week where they're going a little later, so that may work better for you to be able to check things out or ask questions. But they also have information on their websites with that phone number and that available email where you can interact directly with them, as opposed to responding to messages that you get out of the blue, because municipalities aren't taking that information and just randomly emailing you.
If you have been scammed by a government imposter, you can contact ATCAP's Consumer Protection Hotline by phone at 1-800-422-7128 or by email at datcphotline@wi.gov. Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson reports the Sheriff's Office 911 Dispatch Center was the final critical phase of transition to Next Generation 911. NG911 is a network of systems that replace the existing analog 911 infrastructure. Although legacy 911 systems have proven reliable for decades, they are unable to accommodate multimedia exchanges common in today's personal communications. In addition to traditional voice and teletype communications, NG911 allows text, photo, and video messaging to 911 dispatchers. These enhancements to 911 emergency communications in Vernon County came only after years of planning and coordination. The The concept of updating 911 infrastructure in the United States and Canada dates back to 2000. The initiative was instilled on a state level in 2017 when, by legislation, Wisconsin formed a 911 subcommittee attached to the Department of Military Affairs. The following year, the Office of Emergency Communications, operating within the DMA, was formed to oversee contracts and grants related to NG911. Funding for the nearly $238,000 project began with a state grant award of $190,000, which was supplemented by 20% matching funds approved by the Vernon County Board of Supervisors. Reedsburg Area Medical Center participated in the Wisconsin Hospital Association's Advocacy Day on February 25th in Madison. The day is held annually to bring together hospital leaders from across the state to meet with legislators and discuss the future of healthcare in Wisconsin. As part of the day's activities, RAMC presented improving patient safety through reduction of blood culture contamination in the state capitol rotunda, which earned the 2026 Excellence in Healthcare Quality and Patient Safety Award in the Critical Access Hospital category. RAMC team members shared how the project brought together nursing, laboratory, infection prevention, and leadership teams to standardize blood culture collection practices. By implementing evidence-based strategies and strengthening staff education, the team reduced contamination rates, which improved diagnostic accuracy and overall patient safety. Advocacy Day also provided an opportunity for RAMC representatives to connect directly with legislators and hospital leaders to discuss issues impacting rural health care and to highlight the essential role critical access hospitals play in delivering high-quality care close to home. The Community Players of Southwestern Wisconsin has announced the cast and crew for the upcoming production of Snow White. The cast will include Myla Marks as Snow White, Liz Niemeyer as the Queen, Michael Ames as the Huntsman, Dwayne Rose as the Walking Talking Magic Mirror, Allison Adams as the Enchanted Vixen, Stella Woodhouse as Esmeralda, Sharon Zales as the Old Crone, Hunter Jennings as Prince Robert, and Lila DeVries as the Palace Cat. Alaric Riley, Kaylin Burns, Jackson Dre, Essa Lugo Hamby, Amelia Ayala, Hunter Danes, and Jace Niemeyer will be the seven dwarfs. Laura Maloney, Elise Stefflin, Olivia Menet, and Carissa Thompson will be the narrators. Sadie Niemeyer, Rachel Pleckelman, Kayla Fife, Joanna Iserman, Clara Dre, Claire Hine, Ella Joy Fife, Jess Carlson, Ellie Riley, and Lucy McKesse will all be forest creatures. The show will be directed by Dave Tim with Matt Rowe as assistant director. Andrew Sharp is the producer. Kevin Riley will be the technical director with Dina Riley and Glenn Dunn assisting him. Jenny Seide will be in charge of costumes, and Michael Ames will be in charge of props. Set design and construction will be undertaken by Dave Tim and Dwayne Rose. The house manager will be Sharon Zales. Makeup will be done by Andrew Sharp and Tara Scott. Performances of Snow White are scheduled for Friday and Saturday, April 17th and 18th at 7, and Sunday, April 19th at 2, and again Friday and Saturday, April 24th and 25th at 7, and Sunday, April 26th at 2. All shows will be in the Richland Center City Auditorium. Tickets will be available at the door at a cost of $10 for adults, $5 for children under 18, and $25 for two adults and any number of children. For questions or more information, email communityplayerssww@gmail.com. A piece of Green Bay Packers history fetches a high price at auction. A certificate from the team's very first stock sale in 1923 sells for over $64,000, belonging originally to W.R. Wittenberg. The certificate was for 20 shares of stock and would have cost Wittenberg $100. Those shares were sold to keep the newly formed team afloat and originally raised $5,500. There have been five more sales of shares since then. The auction was handled by Heritage Auctions, and the new owner was not named. The public survey for the campus redevelopment project has been completed. The results of the survey will be shared at the campus reconfiguration meeting Thursday. Through the redevelopment project, it was determined that certain campus buildings are in a state where it will cost more to repair than to tear down and build to fit the future need. The county has started the process to demolish some of the buildings at the campus property, which include the classroom, library, and science buildings. Currently, there is uncertainty about the Wallace Student Center. The original plan was to see if there would be interest in repurposing the building, but during the cold snap in January, there were significant issues with water pipes bursting and water damage occurring. The county also continues to work with the Richland School District to finalize the sale of Melville Hall and the gymnasium. This process is taking time as the utilities from the other buildings need to be separated and a survey needs to be completed. The school district and the county continue to work together for the shared use of the gymnasium. An open house for the campus redevelopment project will be held Thursday, March 12th from 4:30 to 6:30 in Melville Hall on the former campus property. Everyone is encouraged to attend to learn about the site and to be able to provide ideas about redeveloping the former campus property. The Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions, EdVest 529, and the Wisconsin Coalition on Student Debt are accepting essays for the 2026 Money Smart Wisconsin Scholarship Contest. All Wisconsin high school seniors who are graduating this spring and planning to attend a Wisconsin college or university this fall are eligible to submit an essay through this Friday. Students must complete an application and write an essay answering this year's Money Smart questions for a chance to receive a scholarship in the form of a $1,000 contribution to a new or existing EdVest 529 account. Members of Debt Smarts will review and score the essay submissions based on how well the applicant has estimated their higher education cost, identified funding sources for paying for those costs, including explaining how the financial aid process works, and formulated plans for managing their finances, schoolwork, and any job responsibilities while staying focused on their academic and career goals. For more information, review the 2026 Money Smart Wisconsin Scholarship Contest webpage or send an email to moneysmart@debtsmarts.org. Weight restrictions of 8 tons are now placed on the roads throughout Dayton Township until further notice. And today's winner of $50 in the Crime Stoppers calendar raffle is Carol Strang of Richland Center on ticket number 131.